Couple of weeks have been an awakening to me in new and inviting and exciting ways. So I want you to indulge me with some storytelling of my experiences that I've had in the last couple of weeks. And the first is of my vacation time with my husband. I think I once told y'all I learned the difference between a vacation and a family trip. So I guess I should reframe that. We had this marvelous family trip once again. But I have learned, even as a child, that there is just no better way to be reborn again when we encounter family and that reconnection, that communion that we have, and the lessons that we learn, and the memories that we share, and then the new memories that we build. Well, I'm going to tell you about a creature report. First of all, on the plane on my way to Washington State, where Ward and I were going to visit my daughter Megan and her husband Ryan and their two children, Layla, who is 5 and a half, because that matters at that stage. I just turned 60, but I'm going to stay there for as long as I can. So Layla is 5 and a half, and Addison, we refer to as Addie or Wild Man, he is something else to behold. He is 3, and they are both in this incredible discovery stage, imagination, creative play that invites and sucks you in and finds a way of representing Christ. I will explain that a little bit more as we go along. But that's something new that we find when we are in community, in communion, connecting, recreating and allowing that love connection to regenerate us and make us new. On my way there, on the plane, I began having these crazy thoughts. And please, if you're a grandparent or a parent that hasn't seen your child in a long time, do you have that kind of thought of, oh my goodness, I don't really know if I'm going to be able to relate to this grandchild. It's been 7 months since I've seen them, and they've grown up so much in 7 months, and will they recognize me? How are we going to play? And blah, 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 and da-da-da-da. And you get your mind all stirred up into this fear factor and a mindset that I sure don't know if I'm going to be able to connect with them. Will I still have it? How will I implement this outcome that I'm looking forward to? That took me actually about 4 minutes, I think, after being held in their welcoming embrace, that I began letting those layers of fear and that stinking thinking that goes on the mind that says, I can't possibly make this happen, to actually happen. Well, on the first day, our children said, out here in this eastern part of Washington, we're not used to thunderstorms. So everything in the city basically just kind of shut down because there was a thunderstorm, which then we rolled over into the next day where it continued to be a lot of rain. And so we got accused of bringing that from Florida, and maybe we did. But it was much needed there. So I, in my mindset of thinking, said, you know, I don't know how this is going to work. The kids have been pinned up in the house 24 hours. My husband deals with a little bit of claustrophobia, and it's actually something that I deal with my introversion when I begin to think that we're in a little bit too tight of quarters, and we've got toddlers, and what do we do with our space? So I found myself going back to the, how can I implement something good coming out of this? How can I make a connection with them? I see some of you smiling like you've encountered this before. So my daughter said, let's go outside and play. To which I said, it's raining. To which she said, Mom, here in the Pacific Northwest, it always rains. So she geared up the kids, and she put on their galoshes, and she handed me her rain gear and her water boots. And I'm not used to wearing that kind of stuff very much, but we carry umbrellas. But instead, they experienced that rain falling upon their heads. Well, I saw this huge puddle in the driveway, and my first words to Addie at 3 were, watch out for the puddle. I'm not relating very well. I hear from the porch, "Mom, he loves to play in the puddles." Well, there's another picture, and I have thousands of them if you'd like to see them. These are just a few. But there was this incredible energy when Addie locked hands with mine, and all of a sudden I was a child again. So I started the count. One, and then he joined me. Two, three, and all of a sudden we are both jumping and water is flying everywhere. And I am not concerned that it's crawling down through our boots and soaking our socks, and the temperature's 56 degrees. Because in the moment I was caught up in this Christ thing happening. This overwhelming, abundant presence of God. In human touch, in hearts and minds that are connecting us. We were created for this divine connection. When we got to Orcas Island, where my mother lives in the summer months with her husband Tom, it's a place where my children grew up and where it was a safe place where I felt that they could roam and feel connected and commune with God and with nature, and it was a beautiful life for them. I think that's why Megan decided to live in Washington State, because there's so much to discover there. And it ties her to those wonderful memories of climbing on rocks and turning over rocks and discovering creepy crawly things. So I got to witness my grandchildren doing that and inviting me into that play. "Layla, you're climbing too high. Addie, be careful, that thing might hurt you," I caught myself doing, as all grandparents do, right? "Mom," they know how to find things and discover them. They've been working on that their whole 5.5 years or 3 years of life. And so I engaged in this play out on the rocks by the deep waters in all of creation. And we discovered things that I had never even knew were there. This blue thing on the screen, I came upon that. And Addie and Layla have learned through a child's program on TV, but it's become a part of their learning curriculum as they're homeschooled, to holler out creature report when they discover something new and wonderful. And they want to share that new discovery with others. So I'm kind of looking around on the rocks, and I'm thinking, I hope they don't get into some of these things that can hurt them, or they fall and get hurt. And while I'm living in a state of fear, I all of a sudden discover something for myself. It's this blue thing, and the shape of it you can't see, but it was about the size of my hand, and it was cupped like this. And I found myself just staring into it for a few moments and wondering what could have possibly ever lived in that before, and what the heck is it? And are these little spiny things on the outside dangerous? And maybe I better not tell the kids that I've discovered such an incredible finding. And then I found myself hollering out, "Creature report! Creature report!" To which the family gathered around this thing that I had found, and my 5.5-year-old puts her nose in it and her finger along the edges, and she says, "Touch it, Nana. It won't hurt you." She said, "This is a prehistoric finding, 5.5. And within it used to be life. And it was beautiful, and it lived in the ocean, and it lived among the rocks, and it fed upon the things that are provided in the waters. And it's really old, Nana, and you found it. But wow, hallelujah, this is the biggest one I've ever seen," she said. "And its name is a chitin," to which Ward and I, when we got home, we were researching what in the heck is a chitin. But I discovered that with every new finding, Layla would holler out, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah," whether it was a new bug under a leaf or a big, huge spider web filled with all the raindrops with a little tiny spider that she'd say, "Nana, don't break it apart. It's beautiful." Well, on one of our hikes, she found something else that just really wowed her, and I can't remember the specific of what it was, but once again she hollered out, "Creature report!" And she began to explain what it was and what was inside of it and how it lived and had its being. And then she would shout out at the end of everything, and particularly this one, "Hallelujah!" And then she followed it with, "Nana, I don't really know what hallelujah means, but when I say it, it makes me feel so good." Oh, that we could sing like that, not because we understand all about God's creation, that we know every detail about it, but that we're willing to be open, to be creative and imagining the things that God has laid out before us so that we could understand the depths, the fathom of God's irresistible, limitless, boundless love and grace. Well, I was grateful for those moments that I shared. Now, speed up to this past week. As I was going through the motions of all of the daily tasks of doing things and trying to fill some roles of our senior pastor while he is away on vacation and realizing that, I hope everything goes smooth this week, to then planning a memorial service that we had yesterday, which was absolutely amazing. And in this week, we had kids camp, music camp. So all week long, there was this chatter of children that took me back to the memories of the week before. And I found myself at one point saying, I really probably should go down there and make a presence because that's what pastors do. They connect with the kids. So I walked down the hallway, and before I knew it, it wasn't about the implementation of doing something well as a pastor. It was about being open, imagining, living within the creating, the renewing, the finding of incredible things that these kids were learning about God's big, big world and God's big, big story of divine love that is limitless and boundless, and to be excited about what they were singing. One day they were learning and they memorized all of their words. I have to tell you, there were only a few pews that were filled on Friday night. I'm sorry that you missed out on the whole performance, but I invited them to come share about their creature report to you this week. So they're going to come during our offertory and sing. And I hope that you will join them in the enthusiasm that they have about this music. It changed my life. On Wednesday, they had pretty much memorized a song about the restoration project of God. And they were shouting and dancing as they sang, and they got so excited. And at the end, I asked them, "Let me ask you, why are you so excited about this song? Why is this your favorite?" I was expecting to hear about the message itself and what it told them about God's restoration project, you know. And instead, I got answers like this. "I love singing it because each one of us has a solo part in it. I love singing it because I've never sung by myself and I found that I actually could sing well. I love it because I'm singing with my friends. I love it because it makes me feel good." And another one said, "I like it because we get to jump up and down and dance and sing." Could it not be that in their imaginations, they are tapping into the imagination of Christ, this Christ that Paul speaks about, that is in all things and of all things and above all things and around all things and is in all people everywhere? The simple words that they memorized, I know, will become instruments that Christ will use to actually be those messages that will be opened up to them as they journey through their life. The scripture today in our text is a creature report. It is Paul's letter, along with some of his fellow followers of Christ. Paul is imprisoned. He's in that dungeon of darkness. And yet there's a bright light shining within him that has so transformed his own life that he can't help but shout hallelujahs in his proclamation of the good news, this gospel story of Christ, this mystery of Christ, this light that is Christ, this God that is imaginable and creative. Even from the beginning of creation, this Christ that existed, that breathed life into all creation, the incarnation of creation, the incarnated Christ, the incarnate possibilities of all that lies in the future, in all things and in all peoples. Well, I have wanted to share with you the excitement that I have over this letter of Colossians, because as a teenager, it became that opening place for me where I was able to feel free in wrestling with questions that I had about Christ. You see, in Paul's creature report, we're learning that it didn't begin with just Jesus, but this Christ existed before all time and before light even entered the world. And then God brought about light, this Christ, into all creation. And then there was this movement that occurred, this constant flow of God's love, creating and recreating and making all things new. So I want to share some of the highlights of this letter that spoke to me as a teenager, full of questions, trying to live into questions and find the freedom of finding God. And this is how I kind of unfolded it. Paul had developed an incredible prayer life that was centered in the heart of Christ, that awakened him to the ever-changing and always evolving nature of God, continuously doing that something new throughout all creation, not just in the prehistoric, but in the new light that we see when we pick up something and allow it to unfold for us. Whether it's something of nature, like these beautiful flowers that were left from the celebration of life yesterday, or whether we find it in a rock that we hold in our hand, or the water's edge when we dip our toes into it at the ocean, or whether it's the music and the message we'll hear from children this morning who are just in that discovery stage of Christ within them. A prayer of oneness is this letter to us. God's working to create, to connect, and to commune in a spirit of infinite, reckless love. As you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work, what God designed in you to do. Not about implementation, like I did on that plane, but how God will work God's magnificent unfolding in front of us, this imagining, creating, and recreating. This Christ that is moving and evolving all things, continuously awakening us to the orchard within us, that God is still interested in cultivating in us and producing the fruit of the Spirit. Do you remember last week when Pastor Peter used Galatians and he talked about the fruit of the Spirit? Do you remember what they were? We named some of them. Anybody? Love. Patience. Joy. Okay. Kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control and love. You know, it's not a problem for us to keep our doctor's appointments because we're real curious about what a doctor finds. Well, there's God and doctor too, but what we discover, what our doctor discovers. We give him a report on how we're doing, and then sometimes we have scans or ultrasounds to see how we're doing physically, and if there are things that are ailing us that maybe can be fixed, right? What if we allowed God to do that scanning? And yet the Bible says in the Psalms over and over again that, yeah, we can ask God to examine us, to examine our minds and examine our hearts. If we had such a scan, what would it show us of our spiritual life? What would it reveal about us? Paul says it's already within us. Strength is within us, a strength to endure the unendurable, such that it spills over with joy. I got to witness that yesterday as we celebrated the life of a person who the family said lived a simple life, and yet his life touched so many people that in the fellowship hall when we gathered for the reception, I heard people come and say, I want to live a life like that. For it was a life that was good, and a life that recognized goodness, a life that bore fruit. The creature report that came out of his life yesterday was absolutely phenomenal. But the picture that was displayed here on the table for the service was a picture of him picking dandelions. So I researched to do a creature report and to share it in the service yesterday. A dandelion opens up and provides, it's a weed, right? It's not the kind that we tend to in our gardens, and once we cut them, they kind of go bloop, limp, right? But out of this weed comes this beautiful bloom, and it lasts for a while and then closes up, and the petals die and fall away. And then there's all these seedlings that when the wind comes and blows upon it, whether it's the breath of God or the breath of God in human beings and children that pick it up to send the parachutes out, the wind blows it and the seeds fall and create new life. Paul says in this letter, that's what happens to us, this Christ within us that lives within us, that lives with us in our dying, even our dying to our stinking thinking or our egos, our self-talk that we do, our self-destruction. This strength that empowers us to get through the difficult challenges that we face in life is within us, this Christ in us, Christ power within us. God's original purpose is in everything created. It is the eternal life that Jesus proclaimed about, that is abundant and free, imaginable, creative, discoverable oneness. Absolutely everything. Everything that got started in Christ and finds its purpose in Christ is that which is in all of us. It's an all-inclusive oneness. No exclusion. Nature is in Christ. Christ is all about this oneness, this bringing all things together. It's an infinite love, this boundless grace. What a creature report. Have you taken time to examine that within your own self? Maybe there are things about you that are yet to be discovered. But sometimes we let our age or we let circumstances in life tell us there's nothing else. The creature report has already been written. But Paul says it is still discoverable. There is still something new. This energy that is flowing in us and through us, not only to show us what Christ in us is doing to transform us and make us new, but the benefit of it allowing us to be responsible, or as Nancy said in her prayer, partnered with Christ in the work that God continues to do throughout the world. So spacious is Christ, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in Christ without crowding. What does that part in this letter mean to us? Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things that are broken, animals and atoms that are split, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of Christ's death and his blood that poured out from the cross. This is the shared scope of Christ's life, suffering, death, and resurrection. This mystery of Christ that lives within us, revealed in us, in our own suffering, and in our own evolving into that something else that connects us with each other and connects us with all creation, and then gives us the voice to sing, sing, sing with all of our hearts. So I ask you to indulge with me in one more story about my 5.5-year-old granddaughter, Layla. While I was there, I discovered that in her collection of Welly Wishers are the shorter version of the American doll within the American doll family. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Have you ever gone out and spent your whole week's paycheck on an American doll? I'm guilty of that. I'm sorry. But thank goodness for the Welly Wishers, because they're only half the price of the taller doll. But I discovered that within her collection that she just really treasures is one doll that's missing a leg. Her name is Emerson. And even though she has one leg, I discovered something new when Layla gave me a new creature report about Emerson. You see, in between Ellensburg, where they live on the eastern side of Washington, and through the Snoqualmie Pass, until we get to Orcas Island, is an American Girl store. Anyone have ever gone to American Girl? Don't do it if you haven't. It is a trap. It is a trap. But I want to tell you how, even in the American doll store, American Girl doll store, I discovered Christ in a 5.5-year-old. So we stood in front of all these dolls with all their accessories. They even have a beauty shop. I discovered that there was a brand new Emerson with two legs. Because you see, the implementation to connect with my daughter was to get her a brand new doll. Because that's what grandmas do, right? But in her imagination, there was a God connect moment for me that changed me. So we stood in front of the two-legged Emerson as she clutched her one-legged Emerson, whose hair was rattled and all out of skew, who was shoeless, in fact, in the moment. And I said, "Layla, Nana has a surprise for you. Nana's going to buy, what would you think about Nana getting you a brand new doll? I'd like to get you a new Emerson." All of a sudden, her face lit up with the thought of having a two-legged Emerson, and then it deflated. Like that flower that had bloomed. And in a 5.5-year-old, there was an experience of death. Something that she was able to let go of. Her pride in owning a two-legged Emerson. Because there were lots of girls in there buying new Emersons. And then when the blossom fell apart, the seedling penetrated my heart. "Nana, I've been thinking in the moment. Emerson is a part of my heart. And she's in our family. And we don't see her as a one-legged doll. I think it would hurt her if I tried to replace her." Whew. That's deep theology about Christ within us and Christ in all things, even an Emerson doll. It's kind of like the Velveteen Rabbit. You know, have you ever read the Velveteen Rabbit? Yeah, when our fur gets, what's it like to be real? It's when our fur is rubbed off and our button eye pops out and our tail gets shabby. But once we have been made real, we can never become unreal again. God is in the business of becoming real in our lives and using everything to transform it. So in that moment, I said, "You know what? You've given me a powerful lesson about love and connection and communion." And she said, "Thanks, Nana. But she sure could use a new hairdo. And I'd like to get her ears pierced, too. And she needs some new accessories. I'd really like the campfire set, so while we're roasting marshmallows, Emerson can roast marshmallows." I probably spent the price of a real tall American doll by the time we got out of there, but I was just alive and made new over and over and over again. That's the opportunity you and I have when we allow this Christ to dwell in us and to bubble up over in us. Whether we find ourselves imprisoned by all the suffering and pain we're going through, by all the challenges this world holds for us, or whether it is we are climbing on the mountains and the scenery is beautiful, God has created us with this design to be remade new over and over and over again, moment by moment by moment, that we might radiate this abundant life that is free and boundless to go out into all the world. Therefore, awakened to Christ in us and in all things and all peoples, and as one with Christ as messengers like Jesus and the Apostle Paul, We are made response able to that great love, that awakening in us, the light of Christ that lives in us, to join God's restoration project. Before we dive into implementing our plans for who and what we think needs changing, we must first experience firsthand the imagination, the creativity, and the wonder of God within us. This new life of love, dress in it, bathe in it, be renewed in it, live it out as God's compassion and kindness and humility and quiet strength and discipline find its meaning and purpose in your life. And then go and do it. Share that love, be that love. Let it resound in you. And sing, sing, sing with all the gusto that you have. Our children are going to do that this morning, and I hope you'll respond with great enthusiasm. Richard Rohr states in his newest book, The Universal Christ, of which I am just on fire about, and I'm going to challenge you to pick up that book and read it. I've even got a study guide, so we can maybe do it as a small group together in the fall. He says this, Christ is the light that allows us to see things in their fullness. The precise and intended effect of such a light is to see Christ everywhere. In fact, that is my only definition of a true Christian. A mature Christian sees Christ in everything and everyone else. That is a definition that will never fail you. Always demand more of you and give you no reasons to fight, exclude, or reject anyone. So I go to the questions that you find in your bulletin. And I know our habit is to drop our, because we're green and we want to recycle well, I know our habit is to drop our bulletins in the recycling bin in the back. But I'm going to ask you to keep it this week. And I want you to read Colossians. And maybe it's just the verses that we've done. But I want you to look at the questions that are there under the worship of God. And I want you to allow God to give you a new creature report about who you are. This Christ in you. This Christ that's not far removed from you, but this Christ that wants to do a new thing in you. Be willing to do a real search. If you're going to spend time at the doctor's office and allow them to do scans on your body, let Christ do a scan on your heart and of your mind. And don't be afraid. Let us see what that develops. So in closing, oh my goodness, how the time flies. I want you to think about the ways in which you, as a beloved child of Christ, can be Christ in the world. Maybe it's by joining Dan Thatcher and the men and the work that they're doing. Maybe it's in the donations you'll make for Derbyshire. Or maybe it's just simply the ways that you'll allow God's nature, all of creation, to unfold for you. God has a seed to plant in your heart. Nurture it, allow it to grow. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you grace and thanks for your great love for us and for Christ, Christ of all things and Christ in us. May we move from this place renewed by Christ's Spirit, made one by Christ's Spirit, and challenged to go out into all the world and spread the gospel, this beautiful mystery of Christ, Christ in us, Christ in all things, Christ in all creation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'll ask you to stand and affirm your faith along with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and of life everlasting. Amen.